Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
So we're looking at verse number 10, Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. But we're going to look at verse 30. Through 37. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Remember that. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow he departed. And he took a 2 pence and gave him to the host and said unto them, take care of him, and whoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbors unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed him mercy on him, that then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this day that you have given us, God. Thank you for allowing us to be here one more time, God. Thank you for just doing everything in our lives. Father God, as we come today, God, please don't let the people see James, God, but let them see you, God. Father God, we ask them, let them hear you, God, and not James, God. Let your Holy Spirit come through me, God, in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, I got like a two-part of this sermon. We're going to call it, it's time to take a selfie. Hashtag, I was born to serve. It's time to take a selfie. Hashtag, I was born to serve. So it's going to be like a two-part series of this. So I'm going to talk about selfies and I'm going to want y'all to catch it. Then we're going to come back to it. So selfies is one of the hottest words that people talk about today. Everybody has to take a selfie. What does a selfie really say about us? Is it that we're trying to let the world know who we are or what we're about? Did you know that 93 million selfies are taken every day? 93 million selfies. In 2013, the word selfie was the word of the year. Not Jesus, not God, but the word selfie. Fellas, believe this or not, 50% of men take selfies. 52% of women take selfies. Now, we might not want to say that, but, man, we do take a lot of selfies. It got to the point that Apple now even created products like iPad, iPhone, iPod, which is all about me, 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 and me. Kim Kardashian created a selfie coffee table book just with her selfies in it so she can look at it every day. a coffee table book with just selfies. Now, you take that, and I'll hold on to selfies. We're going to come back to selfies. My second part is, how many of you like fast food? Fast food. McDonald's? It's okay. I can hold it up. We ain't going to judge you. Wendy's? Yeah. Cookout? Yeah. Burger King? Yeah. Hardee's? Yeah. It's something about Hardee's, though, right? Out of all these other restaurants, like, everybody try to have a little healthy option. Hardee's the only one who will serve a pork chop biscuit dipped in gravy and a burger that has, like, a whole pound of meat on it. What about Chick-fil-A? I know, feet, hands, all that, right? Chick-fil-A is the one that everybody loves, right? And this is the one that's considered the Christians out of the group. Why do we like Chick-fil-A so much? Their food is banging. Healthier. Service. You can be in line at Chick-fil-A, and that's the manager right there, my boy Patrick. You can be in line at Chick-fil-A, and it'll be wrapped around the building, but we would not get out of line. Because we know that you're going to get in within 2 minutes. We also know that if you go sit down at Chick-fil-A, they will come take your tray. They will get you a refill. They will give you a mint. Them jokers even will balance your checkbook if you get them to. But it's at the end of the day, when they say thank you, what's the one thing they say? My what? My pleasure. Because they're all about service. All about service. Why is it that when we talk about service, we do not talk about the house of God? Why is it that we mention fast food, or not fast food, when we talk about serving someone else, we do not talk about God's house? Ephesians 2:10 say, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In this self-absorbed world, God has shaped us for service, not self-centeredness. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you were created to serve. And if you are not serving someone, you are missing out the very reason you were created. So today, I want to talk to you a brief moment about Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. Now, you heard it in King James Version, but I'm going to give it to you in my version. Now, there was a Jewish man taking a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, about 17 miles, which was about 3,000 feet elevation. So you think about 17 miles, that's from about here till 17 miles. Think about it walking. That's a long way. As he's walking, he is attacked by robbers. They beat him down, they took all his possessions, and then they leave him on the side of the road dead. If you look at verse 31, the first person that came was a Jewish priest. You would think, since he was a Jewish priest, that he would be the first one to come along and help. But instead, he pretended like he did not see this joker. Next was a Levite. Now, a Levite is an assistant to the priest in the Jewish temple. He comes down next and actually sees him, but actually goes to the other side and pretend like he didn't see him. Now, a Samaritan came, and the Levites and the Jewish people are in the same neighborhood as a Samaritan, but they hate each other. But what I love mostly about this book is that the Samaritan, out of all the people, was the one who came and helped. Would you help somebody that was your enemy? Is the question. The Samaritans and the Jews lived in the same land in Palestine. They did not consider themselves neighbors, but as a matter of fact, they hated each other so much that they did not consider each other friends or anything. But that was not the case. He took pity on him, bandaged his wounds, put him on the donkey, took him to an inn, and since he was robbed, paid the innkeeper and said, "Take good care of him." How many of you actually will spend your wages on taking care of your enemy? In this story, the Samaritan was the most unlikely person on the planet that would anyone expect God to use in a significant way. Some of you push back on the whole idea of serving because you do not think you can do anything. you do not think you're gifted or talented. You do not think that you can make a difference. But can I say that, like Jesus, he surrounded himself with not a priest, not like a Levite, but common people like you and I. As a child of God, you are called, you are equipped, you are ready to serve. You are expected by the Almighty God to get off the bench and get into the game. You are too valuable to sit on the sideline. We are called to serve a whole world that's been beaten up by the enemy. They are on the road dying, and they need us. So the Samaritan serves the man on the road, and these are the three things that he does. Number one, hashtag, I will serve spiritually. Verse 34 says, he poured oil and wine on his wounds. He know that oil is used over and over in the Bible in connection with prayer and healing. James 5:14 says, pray over them and anoint them with oil. Here's how we can serve spiritually. We can pray for our pastor daily. We can pray for LFB daily. We can pray for our growth. We can pray for our vision. We can pray for our young kids. We can pray for LJ and his mother. We can pray for our country. We definitely need to pray for this election. We can pray for baby Israel and his family. We just need to pray daily. Prayer changes everything. You heard testimony today that LJ was born at 4 months out with this heart disease. And as of today, he has a brand new heart. And if you've seen the Facebook post, there was tons and tons of people praying. Baby Israel, born premature. We pray and pray and pray like crazy. And as I seen on Facebook again, baby Israel is doing just fine. Number two, I will serve physically. Hashtag, I will serve physically. He put the man on his donkey, brought him in, and took care of him. Remember, this is someone who looks at who was an enemy of the Samaritan, and he picked him up and put him on his donkey. Would you pick anybody up and put him on your donkey if they was your enemy? Would you take care of someone that hated your guts so bad that they walked past you while you was laying there dead? Have you ever picked someone who is a dead weight and you can't help him at all? So if I go to Pastor and he's laying on the floor, Pastor, you weigh about 210. He's very happy to say that. 210. Imagine 210 as dead weight. Try picking him up and put him on a donkey. It's a lot of work. My bad, Pastor. The whole point is that the Samaritan went down and got his hands dirty, bloody. He took and he broke a sweat. It is no different than God calling us to get our hands dirty and to break a sweat for the kingdom. Because we serve a Savior who got his hands pierced and bloody on the cross for us. You do not get extra credit in heaven or through Jesus by coming here and sitting in a seat in a church. You have to go to do work, and it's time to serve. Number three, I will serve financially. Hashtag, I will serve financially. Sean, give me $20. That's what I'm talking about. He went in his pocket. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. But you thought about it. Thank you. Serve financially. The whole point of this is that the Samaritan took 2 days of wages to pay for an inn for his enemy. We will work 40 hours a week and get a check and will not get buy somebody a cup of coffee. What does that say about who we are as Christians? Remember, the Jewish man is hurt and cannot stand up. Remember, the Jewish man that is hurt cannot stand the Samaritan guest, and he gave up 2 days of wages. Why would he do this? There are times that you will see someone in the street with a sign on the corner and have to figure out or try to assume that they're doing it for the wrong reasons. This is not serving financially. There are times we can see someone in church that needs our help, and we do like the priest and walk right past them. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I challenge you as a child of God to serve financially. Pay it forward to someone. Next time you're in the store, next time you're in a restaurant, pay it forward and see how God will bless you. Jesus is calling us to serve. Be like the Samaritan and be willing to serve no matter what. When we serve people like the way the Samaritan did, it is a game changer. Imagine if we all had the same mindset, how would this world be a better place? Now, if you think about the Samaritan and the priest, there are a lot of us right now who are having issues of unforgiveness. Would the Samaritan be able to be blessed if he did not forgive his enemies? Church, I would ask you to look inside yourselves, take a selfie, and see what's on the inside and also on the outside. Yes, we look good on the outside, but what's going on in the inside? A selfie is a nice picture that people see all over the world, and we try to guess what's going on in our lives. But deep down, there is some hurt, there is some unforgiveness that we need to get out. I pray to you today that as we continue this journey of life, that we can come together as one and pray for one another. So with everyone standing, I would ask that everybody take the time to take an imaginary selfie of themselves and figure out who we are as Christians and as one body of Christ. And at this time, is there anyone who needs prayer that feel like if I was to take a selfie of myself, what would they see? Would they see some unforgiveness? Would they see some hurt? Would they see some things that they need to change in their lives? So if you're anyone that needs prayer, come on up, and we will pray for you at this moment.